Dan Wilkerson, general manager of BTU. Dan joins us this morning. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and thanks for that.
Yeah, air conditioning working okay there?
It is. We've got them turned up high, though.
Yeah, I hear that. Hey, I found something out. I was watching TV the other day, and they said, how many grids are there in America? And they said three. There's an eastern one, a western one, and Texas. Is that about right?
That is correct. Texas is the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, and we only have a couple of direct current ties to the other two big grids, but the Rocky Mountains pretty much separate east and west.
How did it happen that Texas was able to get their own grid?
Well, we didn't just get our own. If you think about the geography of the matter, as you get out to the fringes of west and north Texas, it's pretty hard to carry long transmission lines across a space without a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we just sort of got isolated from the get-go. And then in the 1930s, when this all came under federal regulation, some pretty smart folks in Texas said, let's keep our own Texas regulations. Let's not go under the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And that's the key now. As long as you don't have ties to the rest of the United States, we're not regulated by them for everything. They do regulate us for a few things.
So we know about blackouts in Texas, but that's back in February, and we were on the other end of the thermometer. It was so cold that we had rolling blackouts. Now we're looking at heat. So first, I guess we need to say, if that happens, and it might not, but it might happen. If it does, when would the announcement come that there would be rolling blackouts? What time of day?
My guess would be around 4 o'clock. We've been getting into trouble, starting to get there about 2:45, and we go to, there are three emergency levels, and they tell us that we're in level one about 2:45 to 3 o'clock. And we got to level two just about into it yesterday at 4, and then we never actually quite did the things that you would do in level two, but then we quickly began to repair, and so that would be the time I would expect it.
Okay, so you say repair. Does that mean that what you started generating more power to fill in those holes, or where there would be a gap?
We don't really know. Those are market-sensitive pieces of information. What we do know is that there's just not enough generation to cover all the load. We've grown a couple of thousand megawatts more than anybody had projected the peak for this year. We're just at the limit of the generation that's online. It's not the grid itself. It's not transmission. It's generation. And there may always are some units when you have 400 or 500 generating units in the state. There are always some of them that are under repair. Mm-hmm. I use that word really to mean we just got better yesterday. Things began to get better, but
okay.
I don't know if units came online that they maybe weren't expecting when they told us we were going to level two. Those are market-sensitive pieces of information that only the grid operator knows.
I got you. Dan Wilkerson, the general manager of BTU, joining us this morning. So if you're leaving your house today or maybe tomorrow or the next few days when it continues to be hot and there's a chance that a rolling blackout could happen before you get back home, what do people possibly need to do?
I would say do what you really ought to be doing, and all of us are kind of sloppy and not doing. I'm guilty of it at times. Cut your computer off. You don't need to be wasting another 3 to 5 watts sitting there. It also heats your house up just a little bit more. Bump your thermostat up. There's not too many things that will be hurt by a rolling blackout that a thunderstorm blink doesn't cause as well. But in this heat, all of your equipment is taxed. So it's better not to have anything pushed off and back on if you can help it. And we won't do it unless we just absolutely have to.
Just as an observation based on your expertise, as the Texas population is growing, how is generation growing and changing to meet the needs that we're going to have in the future?
Well, it's a challenge. We just got a rule in July from the EPA, the cross-state rule, they call it, and it was not supposed to be for Texas. At the very last minute, they decided to include us in a rule for sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide emissions, and they're telling some of our big lignite units up in northeast Texas that they have to be outfitted with equipment that takes 2 years to put in, and the rule starts January 1 of 2012. There's uncertainty more than anything else, uncertainty about what the feds are going to require in some areas, and it's pushing people not to build things. We had four nuclear units trying to be built. I think they've all pulled back now. We don't hear anything. I'm not positive what the corporate stance is, but with the problems in Japan and with the stance we have from the current federal administration, no one wants to build, and it's a pretty scary because we're reaching the limit of our generation this summer. What about next summer and the next after that? We are growing.
The governor's been kicking up quite a fuss about that, hadn't he? He has. Yeah, that's one of the things we've heard about. Well, of course, BTU is a power generation unit, so have you been able to make a little bit of money during this time?
I'll tell you, the BTU customers would be really proud of our employees. We've kept everything running, and, you know, Scott, you don't go into the dugout after the eighth inning and talk about a no-hitter, so we really don't want to talk about that much. But we have done really, really well. The market, we have an energy market in ERCOT, which means that when there's scarcity, we go to scarcity pricing. The pricing is tremendously high, $3 per kilowatt hour yesterday for about 2 hours. Compare that to what you're paying at 9 cents. We've been able to generate an excess into that market, and we return every penny of that to the customer in their fuel charge. Really immediately as soon as we get paid. So we're doing really well so far.
That's good news to hear. Dan Wilkerson, the general manager of BTU, joining us this morning. Thanks for the insight, Dan.
Well, thank you guys for getting us on the air and letting folks hear about it. Just remember, really, really hot. When it's hot, nothing works well. Your air conditioner's really having to work hard. Just give it a break and push that thermostat up a degree or two more than you thought you might need to.
Got it. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.